The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' You will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So let us today meditate a little bit of kingship of Jesus Christ. We heard in the opening prayer, Nicolette, that we proclaim Jesus Christ as the King of the universe. But each one of us should ask a question: is Jesus Christ the King of my life? Today, the kingship that we think of is probably, part of the history is past. Even the majority of the kings in the history, they were not ideal leaders. They were tyrants. The British historian Lord Acton used to say, "Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." So when we hear the term king, we might be thinking about from lectures, the King Arthur or the Round Table. We can think about King Harold, not only one, two or three of them, bad kings. We can hear about very famous King David, the author of the Psalms that we pray in the Liturgy of the Hours. Also, King Solomon. King David was the prototype of Messiah. King Solomon the Wise, who built the temple in Jerusalem. They don't have today any political power, but still we can hear about kings in Europe, maybe in the Middle East. I think there's some Arabic countries that have kings too. But most of them, they just represent the countries, but not as a political leaders anymore. But I think in the heart of each one of us is there's a longing and desire of somebody who would deserve to be called our king. Someone who would fulfill all the conditions to be the king of our lives. Someone who will be supreme in his class. Someone who would have the power but never abusing it. Someone who would be wise, good, and understanding for us. Today's gospel brings us the image of such a person. Obviously, it is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And He fulfills all the conditions to be called our King. I listed four of them. First of all, he is King by birth and origin, because he is being the very Son of God. Secondly, he can never be dethroned or impeached, since now he reigns at the right hand of God forever. Thirdly, his power can never be tyrannical, because it is not imposed, it is merely proposed. Fourthly, his power is based on the self-sacrificial love. And as we know, this king has no army forces, no political party, no propaganda machine, no police, no army, and no prison. But he has very powerful weapon which we call such, it is the truth. And what is truth is the revelation of what God is to all of us, a loving Father of all mankind. And Jesus himself, we know from the other parts of the Gospel, Jesus himself says, the reason I was born and the reason I came into the world is to testify to the truth. And because of his words, he can only appear to those who are interested in the truth. We can always reject the truth. When we are interested, we are going to hear and follow Jesus Christ. Appeals to those who are interested in the truth, who have committed their lives to honesty in all its forms, to righteousness, to fidelity. And Jesus says, anyone committed to the truth hears my voice. When we go back to the scene from Good Friday and picturing the trial of Jesus, he is standing in the front of Pontius Pilate, and he is looking at the Pilate's eyes, appealing to him to choose the truth. But Pilate did not. Instead of listening to the voice of his conscience, the voice of the truth, he chose to put Jesus to death. But Jesus did not end his life on the cross. He resurrected. And then today, he is in front of us, even if you look at this beautiful picture, looks like from Vatican. It is very nice. Image of Christ in me. So we can look at the picture and see he is appealing to us and asking a question. Am I the king of your life? Obviously, the answer to that question is not so easy, because again, we will have to follow his truth. We will have to implement his truth. We will have to make him the center of our lives. Philosopher and theologian from Denmark, Søren Kierkegaard, he wrote a story, sounds like a story would be good for teenagers, kids in the middle school. Story about a king who fell in love with a peasant girl. We know in the past, king could not marry peasants. No way. Always, even the marriages were even arranged. You know, the king in, say, German king had to marry a prince from Hungary. That was arrangement. But here on the story about this king, young king, and peasant girl, and the king has a problem because he was in love with her, and he wanted to find a way just to marry her. But the last thoughts were coming to his mind, and he says, well, if I renounce my kingship, well, she might reject me, and even society is going to criticize me. Then again, he thinks, well, maybe she will accept the fact that I am a king and she is a simple peasant girl. But then he thinks she might call me foolish because I renounce my position, prestige, and she might just get away from me. Well, so he had a problem, even though they both were in love with each other. But finally, he decided, no matter what, I am going to renounce my kingship and I am going to marry this bastard girl. And he did. Story Gibbard never tells us how the story ends. He didn't write the end of that story because the story still goes on and each one of us is going to write the end of that story. The king in this story is God himself. The peasant girl are us. So it's really up to us. See, God's love is above everything. And also, there are differences because God is more than royalty. God is divinity. And his love for us is infinite. We have to decide, are we accepting God's love or are we going to reject? If we are, then with this day's feast, you and I, we can make this proclamation. Jesus Christ wants to be the King of our lives. So invite us, invite him into our lives, open our hearts, and say that he is the King, he is the love and the Lord of our lives.